Welcome to the Commode Code, your comprehensive guide to restroom etiquette in the 21st century. This week, we welcome a special guest, an original bathroom bad boy, a self-proclaimed urinal prankster, the man sometimes known as Deep Flush, the TPOG himself, a man who, for legal reasons, must remain anonymous on his show. We'll simply call him WC Lou. Welcome, Lou.
Hey, thank you for having me.
And welcome to my co-host, Peter, as always.
Hey.
So, Lou, I think we're going to start off with one of the stories that you want to tell us about, which is that you are a latrine smuggler.
So I actually come from a family of latrine smugglers. So this is stemming from some of the good environmental habits of the society didn't take into account the flushing needs of the modern era or of people that produce larger amounts of poop. And if you've ever met my family, you will know we need to flush some toilets. Especially if you're in a house with old plumbing.
You need to flush, and you need to flush hard.
Yes, and you know that 1 gallon low flush bullshit is not going to cut it. You gotta take care of the business when you're a power pooper and a family of power poopers.
So how much flow do you need?
Well, so there was a period where in the United States, it became very challenging to get anything more than that 1 to 1.5 gallon low flush toilet. Mm. But Canada still had the high flush toilets, which were up in the multi-gallon range. And so there was a period where there was a necessity to smuggle latrines in from Canada into the United States.
Do they ever stop you at the border and ask questions about something like that?
Most of the smuggling involves... you know, keeping your cool so they don't ask you why the hell you have a toilet in the back of your car or four.
Yeah. And you don't want to have to explain yourself to the authorities, right? Because, well, I don't know. Is it even legal to import that sort of toilet?
No, it was, and I believe still is, completely illegal. And the statute of limitations has not run out on several of the smuggling operations my family and myself participated in.
Is this an ongoing concern in your family?
It is no longer an ongoing concern, largely because the house we've moved to is no longer a old plumbing house. It's a modern house with better plumbing.
So the low flow can do the job if the drain pipes are better?
Yes, indeed.
Ah, I see. So it sounds like in your family, you're very public with your bathroom habits amongst the members of the family.
You know, you got to do what you got to do. You know, I was listening. I'm a longtime listener of the show, and I kept listening to Peter going on about the, you know, go in there, hide, make sure you know who's in there, who's not in there. And I'm like, no, the bathroom is where I poop and where I fart. And I'm going to do that loudly and proudly. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of my body.
You know, I really do support that. I hope I never... came across as being overly sensitive to things. A lot of my opinions do come straight from the workplace, and I can admit I'm really gun shy from some things I've seen and experienced in the workplace. You know, like I try to sometimes give the caveat of different scenarios at the house, at a concert.
So you did say one thing I remember was around if there was a direct manager above you or maybe even like a skip level manager. Mm-hmm. And that's where I might agree of like, it's pretty much all go unless there's a skip or higher level manager in that urinal. You know, anything less than that, you know, you've got to assert a little bit of bathroom dominance, I think.
I do like that. I like the moxie.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is also the sort of behavior that could lead to you telling a story on the show. Which anonymously. Well, I mean, one of Lou's many talents is that he's a urinal prankster.
Yes.
We've discussed the urinal prankster in the past, and usually in sort of a divisive light.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's definitely the urinal prankster when you're out at a bar. It's pretty much nothing is off limits in my mind. I mean, you walk into that pub bathroom, and don't be surprised if you see me and four of my friends lined up full trowel drop, just waiting for the next person to walk in there.
The toddler drop.
Yeah, the toddler drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, for a second, I thought you were going to say fully nude.
Yeah.
Like, I also have to take my shirt off.
Shirtless at the urinal.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be against that.
Right.
And I have often been shirtless at a urinal, so.
Well, yeah, but.
At work or?
Not at work.
Okay, just check.
Well, and I would assume you go in there shirtless.
Yes.
You don't remove your shirt.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Well, because I think we've all met one of those people who can't poop unless they've taken their shirt off. Or is that
really a thing? Is it like the George Costanza? Didn't he do that?
I think he might have.
Yes, he did. He comes out with it shirtless, and they're like, "What the hell? You're not wearing your shirt?" And he's like, "Yeah, I had to use the bathroom."
So that means that I'll have to take my jacket off if I'm pooping.
Yeah, I can understand.
That's true.
That.
I can understand a jacket.
Maybe a button down. You just don't want to get it, right? You know, in the zone.
Yeah, if I have a hoodie, I won't take a hoodie into the bathroom. Well,
you don't want to break a sweat while you're in the crapper.
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm a power pooper, so you splashing out of there. Ooh. It's like one thing when it's just like I got to wipe my butt a little bit more. But it's another one where it's like, well, now I'm going to be wearing that shit.
So what's your definition of a power pooper? I'm curious if there's multiple definitions yours is.
I think a power pooper is someone who's like a sub-minute pooper. Like the only reason I'm in the stall longer than a minute is because I have to finish my game of Bejazzled or Words with Friends or whatever I'm playing on my phone. Otherwise, it's sub-minute. I don't go in there unless I got to drop one.
Right.
Right. So before the smartphone revolution, you were never in the bathroom, basically, as far as like your coworkers or, you know,
well, only for shitting.
Read a book or a magazine in the old days. But, you know,
because I would say the flip side of that is I'm like more than willing to take my sweet time with urination.
Okay.
Not a power wizard.
Yeah, not a power wizard. Only a power pooper.
Wow. That's like military style. In and out quick.
Yeah.
Nice.
So let's talk about asserting dominance more. What are your methods for asserting your dominance in a restroom at the workplace?
So let's first off just talk about the bathroom etiquette around talking.
Is
largely, unless you actively have your genitals in your hand, talking is on the table. So the only time you should not be addressing everyone in that bathroom, and also once again, this changes drastically when you're at a pub, when you're out with friends, and you're in full on urinal prankster mode. But I'm saying even at the workplace, talking aloud unless you have your hands on your genitals.
So question, if you're in a stall, non-stall situation, so there's the stall barrier, maybe the guy in the stall doesn't have hands on genitals, just sitting on the pot. Is he allowed to have a full convo with somebody at the urinal?
Well, see, I would say, you know, isn't the contact of the seat with your tuchus, is that not equivalent to having your hands on the genitals?
No. Stalls means everything is good. Because I don't know what you're doing in there, so I assume we're all good. And even then, there was a long conversation, which reminds me of ass gaskets.
Yes.
I mean, ass gaskets are for the weak.
Yeah. Very rare day that I ever go for one.
That's for children who didn't eat enough dirt when they were young. That's right. And that's for germaphobes. Like
the only time I've ever had to go to the gasket, and usually I'll fashion one out of TP anyway, because I hate those things, the pull and rip
even
ones.
If they have the gasket,
it never works well.
It looks like a necessary situation. Yeah. You'll but still like, go for the TP.
If there's noticeable, like, smears of something on the exterior of the seat, I'm not sitting on that.
I actually have other solutions for that.
Nice.
So you normally will encounter seats in that sort of terrible disarray at like a festival sort of situation with a porta potty with the honey bucket that's been there for 4 weeks and it's just overflowing. Mm-hmm. So there you get on and you do the power squat over the urinal. So you kind of use like the poop hole strategy that you might find in like Eastern Asia. Yep. Yeah. But instead you're just over that porta potty dropping a duker.
Yeah. I think I made reference. We had that one guy at work, even though the seats were in pristine condition.
The ninja pooper.
That was his technique. You would think that stall is broken, doors locked, no feet, but no. Then you'd hear a rustle and a flush.
Now, see, the interesting thing is I've heard a lot of anecdotes from ladies' rooms being wrecked because there's a lot of ladies who hover.
Ooh.
You can go. You know, I've read this on Reddit a number of times. It's like, it's always something like people who worked at movie theaters, what's your worst memory? And it's always something about cleaning the ladies' room. Do these people just need to practice their squatting more? Are they doing it wrong?
I think they're not doing the squat. They're doing the straight up hover.
Right.
Now you're dealing with a physics problem here, right? Like your feet are way out in front of you, but your center of mass is hanging out really back.
Right.
You have to be exceptionally strong to hold that steady.
Right.
Yeah.
You might think your aim is down, but you might be going back a little and you're hitting all sorts of appliances there rather than going in the water.
And you're supporting yourself at this weird angle. So you're probably moving around because you're not able to hold yourself super solid. Whereas in a squat situation.
Right.
Yeah. It's a good point.
So what we're saying here is ladies, no hovering.
Squat. Get the squat on. All right. So asserting dominance, I assume this means you want to make noises, but I'm guessing probably not kind of the noises one would expect, like struggle noises. That's not dominant, right? That's that sort of secondary
showing weakness.
Yeah, no, and in fact, I mean, I've had this happen once with a bad ring stinger where I had a pretty infamous whimper shit, which was definitely not a dominance trait there.
All right, so we need to talk about two terms right now. First of all, ring stinger. We need a definition.
So ring stinger is this is something that can be compounded if you have other skin problems. Mm. Because you can have a particular rawness between your butt cheeks, but it's when you eat a lot of spicy food, and then that generates a burning sensation as it comes out the other side.
Yeah. That's the feeling it the next day situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. As I said, it can be compounded if you have sort of skin condition problems, or if you were excessively wiping from like eating a lot of something else the day before.
Vigorous wiping leads to a chafe situation.
Yeah.
Then you hit yourself with some spice.
Yeah, you don't want to double up on that now.
Yeah, we used to have a term for this, not ring stinger. That's a great term. I'm going to use that if I may. We would refer to it as taking the Flames to the Cup.
Oh, okay.
It was like an NHL reference because Calgary never made it to the Cup like in modern eras, but you could take the Flames to the Cup if you knew it was going to be a ring stinger. Like, oh, man, I got to go take the Flames to the Cup.
All right. And then whimper shit, is that self-explanatory?
Whimper shit is an extreme ring stinger.
Right.
This would be if the Flames win the cup, let's just say.
Nice. And there's like an audible response, basically, like a vocalization.
You can't continue. You know, the doctor shows you the pain chart and it's like 1 to 10 and there's like smiley faces one and 10 is like eyes wide open screaming. Yeah, that's a whimper shit.
Okay.
Oh, man. Full seat lifter.
Yeah, and I mean, in particular, I was a result of eating a large, large volume of spicy, spicy wings.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. As those things usually are.
Yeah, and this was actually a workplace whimper shit, which made it even worse.
So in that case, then I think you need to start following the cautious Peter methods and like try to make sure no one sees your exit, right?
Yeah, there was a little bit of that, maybe. That being said, it was actually one of my most heartwarming experiences at work because one of my coworkers, who I still to this day don't know which one it was, I think he wanted to remain anonymous. He heard the audible whimpers and he expressed genuine concern. I mean, he was just genuinely concerned for my well-being and
That's
inquired.
Good. Yeah. I mean, you want to have that kind of person around you, right?
It is great. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm glad there wasn't like you didn't have to like have the face to face though about that. It was like through the stall barrier. It's like, hey man, you doing all right in there? Need me to call for some help? You need some backup? Anything? But
yeah, that actually sounds really familiar.
Yeah. Now the funny thing is, what if you had that one of those stalls where that you get the gap in the door and it's way too wide and you see the eye there? That would be a bad time to see the eye there.
You don't want to see the eye.
No, you want someone to see you crying on the pot. Come on.
Yeah, that is not bathroom dominance.
No.
Now, bathroom dominance is dropping that loud, stinky poop, and then you just kick that door out as you come out of there, and you're just like, that wing of the house is closed.
The depth charge, hear it hit the water.
Yeah.
Splashes all around.
Yeah, I mean, if you want extra points there, you scream, you sunk my battleship as you drop that.
I like it.
So we have asserting dominance. What's your flatulence position? Always okay?
In the bathroom, that is a sacred place where I can drop flatulence.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty much the only time I'm going to hold back my flatulence if I'm worried for my personal hygiene, as in it's like imminent shart territory.
Yeah.
And I know what I had yesterday, and I know this ain't going to be pretty.
Right. What about elsewhere in the workplace? Do you keep it only in the restroom? Do you have other places you like?
I will say, know thy body.
Okay.
If you know you're a silent but deadly type, then yeah, just fucking rip that thing as you walk down the hall. That's fine. But if it's going to be a squeaker and you're going to be like the Pied Piper, yeah, you might want to hold that one in.
Now, what do you think about the crop dust in the elevator?
Ooh, that's risky.
This is one I've encountered a number of times in the aftermath, right?
See, that could have been my aftermath because I'm all for that. No one else is in there. I will quickly and hurriedly either take responsibility. This is asserting dominance where you're like, that's nasty, huh? Or I blame whoever was in there before. It just depends on my mood that day and who's entering.
So if you're in solo, you rip something nasty, everything's great. But then, of course, Murphy's Law says you're going to stop on the next floor. And it's like, whoever could be, you're a single person looking to make an acquaintance, and all of a sudden you're trying to explain the sour note in the elevator.
Yeah, that might be an example where I would be more likely to
it was like that when I got here.
Yeah.
You should have seen the other guy. And they're like, wait, that doesn't make any sense in this scenario. No. You should have seen the other guy.
Oh, man.
He was having a whimper shit.
Yeah.
He brought a chamber pod into this elevator. He was doing it right there.
Yeah, speaking of tools for pooping, it's something I learned about through the power of the internet. I've never actually used one myself, although I've had an occasion where I might have. A poop knife. Have you heard of this?
What?
Oh, I've heard of the poop knife.
I certainly have not, I would love to hear this.
Yeah, evidently it is a thing.
Yeah. Do you want to sum it up?
Yeah, so the basic of the poop knife is if you are someone who has particularly large and particularly strong poops,
I know where we're going.
You basically have a knife dedicated to chopping that poop into pieces so it flushes cleanly and easily.
Wow.
Yeah.
How does one, after you've cleaned or you've used the poop knife, What's the move there?
You rinse the poop knife
in the bowl as best you can, and then to the.
I think you generally
like I don't want poop flakes all over the.
Yeah,
countertop.
Well, you rinse it in the clean bowl, right?
Yes, you flush, then you rinse in the clean bowl, and then I would probably just like there'd be a discreet place for you to hang up that poop knife, either maybe hang behind the toilet like you know on the side wall in the back corner by the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the original Reddit thread I read it on has been deleted, so I can't put a link to that. I'll try to find an archive.
I'm learning things every day.
Yeah, this was actually a family that shared a poop knife.
Yeah.
And like between multiple restrooms, which is really bizarre because you'd have to, you know, if it was...
Well, you hope that it's not wet because you don't want to drip like a...
You don't want to be carrying that through the house, dripping it, right?
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know if they had stairs, you know, you don't want to take that. On the stairs with you if someone's just used it downstairs.
Somebody just fashions one out of a dowel rod and just...
Yeah.
The poop shiv. So in college, I actually encountered a poop that I would have required a knife for. There was a guy, we affectionately referred to him as Big Mike, and he was so large that the bathroom stall's doors opened inwards. He wasn't capable of closing the door when he was in there. So you just be like... And inconveniently enough, the sinks... The mirror faced
that's bad design.
Very bad design. See, he's washing your hands, and you look up and be like, "Hey, Mike,
hey, how's it going, man?"
So yeah, it was shortly after I moved in, I encountered a poop that I affectionately called the guinea pig shit because it was literally the size of a large guinea pig.
Yeah,
and we tried flushing it like three times.
Just wasn't going.
It didn't go down, and it's like. And then I only afterwards was like, man, if only we had had a poop knife.
Yeah, if you'd learned the technology of the poop knife.
Fantastic.
I think what you really got to do in that scenario is you probably just want to keep a few biodegradable knives in there, and then you can just flush it when you're done with it, right?
I suppose so, but I...
Like in a college setting, because you probably don't want the whole dorm sharing a poop knife. You got to go get that from the third floor toilets.
I'm just thinking, like, we haven't come up with as a society a flushable tampon yet.
Right.
So a flushable poop knife might be another level of technology that we're not ready for.
It's like the flushable wipes they advertise that aren't really flushable.
That's true.
I mean, sure, they'll call them that, but then they back up the entire city.
Well, and you get a Fatberg.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is a company that claimed to have a really truly flushable one.
Yeah.
I think they're called Dude Wipes.
Yeah, I think that's also bullshit, though.
But you would think the technology would exist, right? I mean, it's not that hard to make something that will eventually just disintegrate.
I just think if Dude Wipes were listening to this show and they sent us samples, we could actually do our own independent analysis.
You could wipe and then leave it in a container and see what happened to it.
Yeah. Put the scientific method to the test.
Well, you could like wipe something blue on it,
sure.
You know, like they do in a tampon commercial where they use the blue liquid.
Have you ever seen, speaking of things like this, the testing of toilets at, say, like the Kohler company?
No.
Where they basically pack condoms full of various materials to make a simulated fecal matter.
Okay.
And then flush them. And then they put different material in there to simulate the guinea pig versus, you know, the softies, the clingers, whatever, the ring stingers. But they literally have like a whole QA department that puts these things to the test with like different sizes and shapes. It's quite enjoyable.
Yeah. So you put like a, you know, dried beans inside one of them, and you put your marshmallows in another. Mm-hmm. Is a condom full of marshmallows like an actual.
That'd be such a floater.
Yeah, it would be.
That's
right?
A real floater there. That's buoyancy would be off the charts, but they probably test that.
They probably do. Yeah. I mean, you got to get those floaters. You got to get them all the way down, that's even if you're in a low flow situation.
I feel like you have a whole episode we could do on different types of just individual poops.
Oh, there are. There's
categorizing
so
all of it.
Yeah. I mean, we sort of touched on the urine scale where you compare it to a beer, right? Mm-hmm. And you have the, you know, the go to the emergency room when you're at Guinness. You need to drink a lot of water if you're at a Irish Red.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, poops, there's the same thing. You know, you get your little rabbit pellet, you get your one long log, you get your floater, you get your, you know.
The hangover black.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hangover black.
Oh, especially after red wine.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah. You get your green shit from your Mr. Boston's blue Curacao.
Yeah, any of those blue Gatorades, blue slushies, whatever. Yeah.
You get your beets. Oh, the beets.
Yeah.
That can be a scary situation. Right. I've always thought there needs to be just something where, like, I tell my phone, hey, I've eaten beets, mm-hmm. or it's tracking my diet, and it just puts a little sign up in my bathroom that says, you had beets, you are not bleeding.
Right.
For the next day or whatever, right?
I personally hate beets. I think they taste like dirt.
Okay.
But I did experience a similar situation with, you know, Red Vines licorice.
Oh.
Costco used to sell like the industrial tub of those things. And this is back when I would eat sugar like all the time because why not? And I think I overindulged on those. And let's just say the next day, I almost made a trip to the ER thinking I was bleeding out. And then it really like 5 minutes later dawned on me how many Red Vines I had ingested the night before.
I had a similar experience with red velvet cake.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Dyed with beet juice. beet dye.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. Thought I had a bleeding ulcer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's all about bleeding.
Well, bleeding would segue well into one of my other topics.
All right. Let's move on to that then.
So I'm you know, I talked earlier about how you should be pooping loud and proud and don't be ashamed of your body. I also am a big believer in women's rights and women breaking, we'll call it the bathroom ceiling.
Okay.
I don't understand why women feel the need to be or are shamed into being ashamed of their menstrual periods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just as I'll walk out of that stall being like, that wing of the house is closed, a woman should feel loud and proud to walk out and be like, shit is bleeding this month. And you know, if we think about not just the emotional benefits from this, you also have a financial benefit from this, because how many toilets a year are clogged and broken by the unnecessary flushing of women's products because they're ashamed of their bleeding, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the tampon is the number two contributor to fatbergs after the wet wipe, right?
Yeah.
You're familiar with the fatberg, right?
I'm not sure I am.
Have we talked about fatbergs?
I don't know if we've used the term on the show.
So it's a term of art. It's a thing made of congealed fat and wet wipes, usually, and tampons. Mm-hmm. Basically, what happens is in the sewers, all of these, all of the wet wipes will start collecting together, and then all of the oils and fats that get flushed that shouldn't be down your sink, down, you know, any wastewater disposal from restaurants or whatever, and they all congeal into these giant masses called fatbergs that can get absolutely enormous and cause huge municipal sewage problems. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's all about these things that really shouldn't be washed down your drain water. Especially the two biggest ones are the wet wipe and the tampon, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you get people to be proud of their menstrual cycle, does that really,
you're not
going to be showing it off. I mean, when Arissa was here, we talked about, you know, packing it out.
But this I'm saying of like the I've seen
if
women
less
who,
shame.
Yeah, well, they're so ashamed that they're like wrapping it in 17 layers of toilet paper, and then they're like, or they're flushing it. Right. Those are the two options. If you're ashamed of it, you're either hiding it, or if you don't have the toilet paper, especially in a public stall or where a low TP situation or a one ply situation, you flush that.
Okay.
And so you get rid of the shame.
Yep.
And you save money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, you can just wash that blood off. It's fine.
I mean, everybody bleeds sometimes.
That's right.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'm on board with that, but, you know, I don't have that particular situation. So,
and I would love to know a women's queefing in the restroom.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Does that happen?
I mean, does it? I don't know.
I mean
normally that's not going to happen in a workplace, but.
I don't feel qualified to comment.
I mean, it's probably not as common in the restroom. I mean, during a yoga class, something, you know, might happen. But,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, some workplaces do have yoga classes at the workplace.
Yeah,
it's
possible. That's
true. About that. Yeah, be aware of that if you have a co-ed yoga class at work.
Yeah.
Once again, loud and proud, I say.
Loud and
just
proud.
Go for it, yeah. Well, you're not going to hold that in. No. It's going to ruin your day.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think about making non-body function noises in the stall? Like actually actively, you know, we've talked about your talking stance a little bit, which is as long as it's not on your genitals. But what about sound effects? What about, you know, hooting and hollering?
Oh, kind of embellishing?
Yeah, well, embellishing either your own business, someone else's business, making a little, you know, celebration. Maybe you, like, take something in there with you. Maybe you got a little with you. You make a little bell. I don't know.
I'm interested to hear Peter's opinion on this one.
I mean, again, if the only situation I would feel comfortable, especially commenting on somebody else's noises in there, is if it's not at the workplace. Like if it was like at a fun situation, like friend and I are at the concert and both in a stall and it's some bad noises going on next door, I'm for sure making some comments about it.
Right.
But like at the workplace, it gets a little weird, especially like whoever's next to me might enjoy it and laugh, but like you don't know who else just walked into the damn room. And they're like, what are these people doing in here? It's like talking about each other, taking a dump.
So I fully disagree with you here.
Okay.
Absolutely. So I think first off, there is one rule here where if you're going to do it, you have to commit to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't do like a halfway thing where the person's like, I'm not sure if he intended to make that noise or not. You got to make it really obvious. So you sit down and you're like, whoa, or you know, just really let it go.
I'm thinking you bring in a vibra slap with you. You're like, you got a whole auxiliary percussion section.
Oh, that's
in there.
Pretty good. Or one of those like noise makers. Yeah, like the button with the buttons on it, or like the ones that's got like the applause sound, the fart sound, whatever, the siren.
this actually has reminded me of the ultimate urinal prank.
Okay.
You're in Japan where they have the courtesy white noise so people don't know you're flushing and pooping.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So you hack that and program in obnoxious sound effects.
Ah, yeah.
So they hit it. They think they're getting a white noise. And about 5 seconds after the white noise starts, it's like a woman orgasming or like a horse going to town on something. I mean, just go crazy.
I like it.
Sheep being herded.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Bleeding noises everywhere. Yeah. That'd be a good
whale breaching.
I mean, that sort of goes with the power pooping.
I suppose so.
All right. What about, I don't know, how about non excretory activities in the restroom?
Like what? Playing some cards or what are we talking about here?
Yeah. No.
I mean, here's the interesting question. Phone calls in the bathroom.
Oh. Yes.
I think, once again, if we're going for a sign of asserting dominance in the workplace, if you are important, you need to be on your phone. And you know, you might not necessarily be having the full conversation while you're dropping your duker, but you mute when you drop the duke, you unmute and you tell people exactly what they should be doing with their time.
Yeah.
Because you know how to use every ounce of yours.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah. You are giving the commands, right?
Like you could see Alec Baldwin, like, you know, just on the can. He would probably not mute at all.
No, probably
just like
not.
Mid convo, he's like, oh, yeah, I like the deal, Jim.
I read this statistic, not citation needed, that 70% of CEOs had bathroom phones installed in their house and their workplace.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is why you have the hotels with the bathroom phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is for high powered business travelers who always need to be on the phone, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I thought it was so you could order room service when you're stuck on the shit or drunk.
Oh, I mean, that's a good usage. Yeah. They don't usually have the speed dial buttons on them, though.
You're right.
So you can't just dial up the room service. You have to know the room service number.
Interesting.
So you got to remember every hotel you go to, you got to memorize the room service number so that you can call them from the shitter later. Good notes. Good notes.
I'd put that in the footnotes of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any sort of noise, I think you're pretty much game to make. Other activities, you know, you start to say like, all right, eating when you're pooping. Mm. No, that's probably out.
Violation.
Yeah, I think it's just, I mean, you're talking high, like this is public health hazards. Right. Here, right?
What about a beverage?
Yeah, beverage strategy is an interesting one. You go to certain sporting arenas, and they have the little drink tray holder.
Yeah, you got the drink shelf or the cup holder.
Yep, I mean, in the bar, I'm very, very regular. You go in holding the beer. Oh, yeah. You got a dedicated pee hand and a dedicated beer hand. Yep. It's in and out.
But you're not allowed to be eating a burger is my theory there. No, like, you can have the beer.
You can have beverage, but like not some, Now, does it have to be an alcoholic beverage? Because are you depending on the antiseptic properties of the alcohol?
I think that is how you lie to yourself.
Yes. I think you have to kid yourself that way. Now, I have encountered a person who would bring a hot coffee into the restroom with them.
That's interesting.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on a hot coffee?
See, I'm more likely to leave the hot coffee outside the urinal, outside the restroom, maybe at a urinal if I'm holding it in one hand. But once again, I'm still kind of thinking it's sort of not a good public health thing.
Right. Yeah. I think this person usually would leave it near the sinks and then go to do whatever they're going to do and then pick it up near the sink, which I think is okay, but definitely once or twice saw them exiting a stall carrying a coffee.
That's
and,
a little
you
weird.
You know, you go into the restroom, I guess it's a little nicer that it smells like coffee than it smells like it normally smells.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like, what's going on in here that it smells so much of coffee?
At our office, I've mentioned we have a couple of executive suites, single seaters with locking doors. They have a couple little tables outside of the doors. So on your way in, you could set your laptop and your beverage there.
Right.
Advertising who you are and what you like to drink. And
yes.
Go in there, do your business, and come on out.
And give people a good excuse to roofie you. Or a good opportunity, not excuse.
It does happen quite a bit in our workplace.
Yeah, a lot of that. That sounds very healthy, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's one way to assert dominance.
Is to dose people.
Climbing the social ladder, one person having to show up roofied to a meeting at a time.
Right.
Sure. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to go back to the noise a second, because you talked about earlier doing your stall gaming, your words with friends, whatever. What do you think about having the phone just loud, 100% volume while you're in there?
Go for it, man.
Go for it.
Yeah. Watching a movie or
a
podcast.
Once again, though, if you're talking about a workplace, you want to assert dominance for the corporate world as a go-getter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you might not want to be advertising that you're playing that. Now, if it's like you've got a conference call.
Yeah.
You know, you can just leave that thing on speakerphone. That's fine. Let everyone know, like, I'm in an important meeting.
Now, what if you're listening to the audiobook of, like, the effective executive or something?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Is that good? Yeah.
I mean, you might come across as a brown noser. I mean, you gotta judge the situation there.
Right. But, you know, bringing in something where you're playing some Clash of Clans and you having all those noises, that might not be sending the same message, right?
Yeah, it might be sending the wrong message to your coworkers that you're kind of a slacker. I mean, as a power pooper, people are like, damn, he went in there, he got out of there. He only went in there to poop. That means he's here to work.
Yeah, he didn't even have time to watch the music video for Despacito while he was in there.
Three times.
Yeah. What about virtual reality in the stall? I guess you wouldn't have the opportunity as a power pooper, right? But, you know, if you got a mobile VR headset, you get in there, are you going to go into the 360 video and just look all around?
Again, there's a controller involved and you're handling your bits and wiping stuff, and then you're holding the controller. To me, that's
too much.
It's a little cross.
I might make an exception on this only for the fact that it gives you an opportunity to experience epiphany shits anywhere you want.
The epiphany shit is a good situation. You know, it's interesting that the bathroom is such a place of inspiration for us, right? Because you know, the inspiration shower is very well known.
Yep,
sure.
The epiphany shit is second only to the shower, right? I think.
Well, as a power pooper, I'm much more likely to have an epiphany piss.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
But, you know, the epiphany shit is still a valuable thing. Like, I normally find if you're backpacking,
You're in the woods. You've been eating a lot of fiber. Maybe I'm ratcheting down from my power pooping a little bit. And then I enjoy the scenic view as I'm dropping the dude.
Okay. I don't think you know how fiber works, but we'll move on from that.
Maybe I haven't been eating enough fiber.
Yeah.
He either needs more fiber
or less fiber. I don't know how fiber works. Maybe we should explain for anyone who doesn't know what an epiphany shit is. Now, I think it's a little self-explanatory, but do you have specific points you'd like to hit, Lou?
So I think an epiphany shit requires several different elements. You either have an epiphany while you are shitting, which means that you are in that moment of freeing your bowels and relaxing your sphincter, then the thought comes to you. But you can also have an epiphany shit of peace and serenity. Maybe there's a better term for this, but this would be where you're pooping in the wilderness, you're pooping on like a hilltop, and it's a serene experience, maybe a bit of an out-of-body experience.
Right.
As I said, maybe a different term would apply here. But
Well, I remember the TV program Scrubs had an episode where the janitor put a roof or toilet on the roof, and everyone went up there specifically for that reason. That
I would guess the toilet.
Yeah, it was how they worked through their problems was the roof toilet.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I could see like a Google or somebody like going with this like, some sort of a one-way glass kind of thing on the roof toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of the one-way glass urinal stall? It's a bathroom stall in, it was like downtown London.
No.
No.
Oh, yeah. So it was one-way mirror all the way around, but right. You went in there and it was a public restroom.
Hmm.
And it was one-way so that the person using it could see out. It wasn't like a Tilda Swinton art installation situation.
No. It was definitely to make you feel exposed even though you weren't.
It should be that like photochromatic stuff though, where like you think it's one way it is, and then somebody flips the switch, and all of a sudden it's see through, and you're like, "Oh,
yeah,
that would surprise. Be an ultimate urinal prank." There.
Then you go, or you just go power stance at that point, and you just own it.
Now, would another way to think about the epiphany shit be if you have an epiphany about your shitting?
Ooh.
Like if you suddenly realize that, hey, I'm not getting enough fiber, or hey, I finally realized how fiber works.
That would also be a form of epiphany shit. I feel like we have three varietals of epiphany shits.
Yeah, it's very good. We need to document these for the ages.
The exposure aspect that you referred to earlier reminds me of a club I was in Puerto Rico. And this club had an interesting bathroom situation where the women's restroom received a silhouette of what was going on in the men's restroom at the urinals.
Wow.
Oh.
So when women were in their stalls, like, they were looking. Right. Yeah.
You're seeing the silhouette. That's
I think you could gamify the hell out of that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as like you become acutely aware of it, you kind of start dangling your belt in a certain place.
Right.
Or, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, the best I've seen is where instead of the mirror above the sinks, you just have like a piece of glass and you can see straight through into the other restroom.
Hmm.
Although I also think like at that point, why isn't it just a unisex restroom? But whatever. Right. Your new bathroom architecture technologies is something that we should definitely touch on. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all sorts of, I think, unplumbed depths of what you could do with a restroom if you redesigned it from the ground up to not just be, you know, functional, but to have some beauty or to have some extra purpose or to, you know, be intentionally prank-ish or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You could have a musical flush system. You could have some lights through some clear plumbing. You know, you could really go all out.
Clear plumbing.
I'm thinking of kind of like a Dance Dance Revolution meets some other game at the urinal kind of thing.
Wait, now, so Dance Dance Urinal Revolution. So let's think about this. So do you have the four standard pads, the forward, back, left, and right pad?
You might, but I think it would be a little smaller. I mean, you don't want people taking wild jumps while they're at the urinal, so it's a little more constrained. But, like, it's got to do something with the flow because you don't want to just stand there and, you know, you're not actually using the urinal. It's got to be you've mastered the stream at the same time you can do the footwork.
So here's what it is, is that the music, the tempo will be controlled by the power of the stream. So you have a pressure sensor and, you know, the stronger your stream, the faster you're going to have to go.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to make you move your feet, which is going to make you like, you know, you're doing a lot of activity, which is going to contract your muscles, going to slow down the stream. So you got kind of a tension there, right?
It could very well be.
Yeah.
That makes me wonder how you could apply this to non-urinal games as well.
Yeah, I think you could definitely have some interesting non-urinal games of this, but I think it's more fun if you're, your stream is another input, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have your hands, you have your legs, you need to use every part of the person, especially in a virtual reality situation. Ooh, yeah. Now you could really get,
I was just headed that way. I was going to say, if you could do some sort of an AR thing,
okay,
where you have like a target overlay through whatever, the goggles,
like
glasses.
Fighter,
yeah.
And you're like, you got a bogey in at 6
right,
o'clock.
Right. Yeah. So it's like you're sitting there at the urinal and all of a sudden you see a little thing fly in and you got to hit it. But you can't go wide, you got to make sure you're keeping the stream
in
the urinal.
Narrow. Yeah,
right.
Or well, maybe you can't get a target lock if you go that wide, right?
That's right. That's your mission there.
Wow, yeah. This could be fun.
So, I mean, this brings up the entire concept of like a urinal arcade or a bathroom arcade, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is this the next big business plan?
Patent pending.
Patent pending. Patent pending. TM. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week. Well, thank you, Lou, for bringing a new.
New perspective.
Yeah, new view. Lou with the new view on the show.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was my pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. As always, if you think a friend might like this, please recommend the show to him. Give us a star in Overcast or a review on iTunes. Our music's by Audionautix.com. I was joined by quote WC Lou unquote and Peter Wyckoff this week. Thanks for listening.
Side note, there was this awesome bar in Montana we used to go to that was like nothing but bathroom pranks. Like it would have two flush levers. You didn't know which one was right. You grab the wrong one, it shoots you in the shirt with water. Like stuff like that, right?
See, and as a urinal prankster, I would install one of those. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, okay.
It's like sounding the gong.
I feel like we need to use that.
Yeah.